Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest yourself today. This episode is going to be a celebration of perseverance, excellence, and mining the silver lining. In my book, Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy, there's a whole section about why it's important to invest in the silver lining in every cloud. The silver is a precious metal. You can find when things get disrupted, when you have a crisis, when you have an emergency, when you have a complete disruption of things as you've known them up until now. On the one hand, it can be painful. It can be disconcerting. It can be a challenge in so many ways, depending on your situation. On the other hand, it creates for you sort of a blank slate. It gives you a freedom and an emancipation to attempt new things, to create new paradigms that oftentimes just doesn't exist the way we'd like it to when things are going well and we have things to fulfill. Today, we're going to celebrate one of those entrepreneurs, one of those business creators who saw the opportunity, who saw the silver lining here as the COVIDian era began and has done something that when I heard about it was pretty remarkable. So I was very intrigued by the possibility of having her on the Business Creators Radio Show. She gracefully agreed, and we're going to have some fun with this. Her name is Tamika Wells. She's the owner and founder of Honey Bee Grocery Delivery in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She's passionate about excellent customer service as well as giving back to her community. She enjoys helping busy business owners and families save time by offering food concierge services. She needs to open a branch in Las Vegas. Honey Bee was strategic in protecting families from COVID during the height of the bug while finding the elusive items like toilet paper that were flying off the shelves. Honey Bee is currently developing an app to help delivery drivers earn better pay while lowering delivery fees for rebounding local restaurants. Tamika Wells, come on in. The weather's fine.
Yeah, awesome. Great. It's pretty nice out here in North Carolina too, but I'd love to be in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. 119 degrees, dry heat. Oh, yeah. After I'm done with you, I think I'm going to go soak in the pool. Anyway, yeah, that's actually one of the things that makes it very nice is I go jump in the pool for 5 minutes, I come back to the balcony soaking wet, and the hour that it takes for me to dry out keeps me cold, and I just repeat the process. I can keep going all day with this. So
okay.
Fortunately, our conversations are about 55 minutes, which means the timing on this will be just right. Before we get into what's going to be a very interesting conversation we like to do here on Business Creators Radio Show, is I read off your official biography, which is so inspiring that I'm not sure that I am worthy to be here, and this is my show. I want to ask you a bit more about your personal journey and what's brought you to where you are today. What drove you to serve business creators and the community at large from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion?
I was a single mom, and I say was because now he's grown. He's 21 and he's in the U.S. Army, training Great. To be a medic, an RN for our country. So he's off on his own. He's grown now. And at the time, about 4 years ago, he was having a tough time, really a lot of hard things going on in the private or in public schools, really, really rough things that I could share news articles about to prove that I'm not making up a Hollywood story.
Right.
And so he needed to get out of there and get into private school while I'm a single mom working at a large bank, but not making enough. So I had to find a second. I knew as a former tax preparer, you needed a business, not a second job. So I found Instacart at the time and was making really good money. and was able to pay for his private school tuition and also keep a roof over our head. Well, as I saw things starting to change in California, because I'm connected to a lot of those groups, I saw changes were going to come to North Carolina. So I had to find something else to do to make sure that I still had income and my family stayed safe. And I also saw that with random people showing up at our customer's door, that was a problem that needed to be solved, because I wouldn't even order from these apps because I didn't like the different people that I ran into in the stores and at the restaurants. I also did other companies, like I also delivered for other companies and other apps as well.
Right.
So I created a business that you had the same consistent shoppers, the same, you would have the same consistent drivers and that same friendly excellence, not random. 1 minute there's melted ice cream on your porch and then the next time you get great service. I wanted consistency throughout it all.
Right. You know, that, and that's very interesting is, and this is part of the reason I wanted to have you on the show, is this shift toward, and I'm going to make a statement just one time. This is how I feel about things, because you have even now this debate as to whether or not we should live in COVIDian lockdown conditions. And there are people that even now believe that we have vaccines out there. We figured out how to manage this thing for the most part. We even have the intelligence to deal with variants as they arise. And they still want to go back to this thing where we live in this artificial dystopian lifestyle where we never leave our homes. And what I say to them is, you know what? That's perfectly fine, because we're at a point now where you could lock yourself inside your house and never come out. You can even have your groceries delivered right to your front door. And folks like you are there to help people exercise their freedom of choice as American citizens, which is what I love.
I love that too. And that, if you want to go to the beach and have everything put in your freezer and your refrigerator while you're away in the garage, I can come in and do that. And you won't have to worry about your house and anything being missing. I look at it like that we realized during this pandemic, there's so much more you could do besides be in the grocery store.
Yeah. You hit on something right there. You mentioned that there's a level of service with some of this stuff where they, if you're working with a company and you have dedicated people involved, you can give them access to a limited part of your residence where they can actually come in and put perishables inside containers like refrigerators, freezers, or ice boxes, where the perishables will be maintained until such time as you can collect them. I know mm-hmm. that in the community I live right now, is this very large apartment community that, several years ago, it used to be two separate communities until some company that flips apartment communities bought them both and merged them. So there's another unit on the other end of the property that uses a different street address that has the same number as mine. And I've lost count of how much stuff was left on my doorstep that was somebody ordering food that they didn't even knock on my door or anything. They just left it there. And I'm supposed to do what with this?
That's what Google Maps is for.
Right. Yeah. And the problem with that is you get all this stuff dumped on your door, and the real person who suffers is the individual who actually ordered it and expected it on their door.
Exactly. So we're very intuitive.
Yeah. So now not only do you have to, if you choose to, create a relationship with somebody who lives far away from you, but then you run into they ordered it that way because they didn't want it touched by anyone. So me taking it to them or me saying, come pick up your stuff is not going to serve the original purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah. So as we get a little bit further into this, let me just ask one question of you real quick. Whether it was you doing the deliveries or people working for you doing the deliveries, how did that feel to leave something on somebody's doorstep, ring their doorbell or knock on the door, and then walk away knowing that you would have no human interaction with your customer?
With other apps, you felt isolated or alienated, but with Honeybee Delivery, we still can communicate via text and GIFs. That was one of the funnest things, is we send each other cat GIFs and funny pictures and videos, and you get videos and pictures of what's going on inside the store. So it's very personable. There's a couples that we built relationships with, we didn't see for the last 3 to 6 months until after we all had our vaccines.
Right.
So, and we were still friends and we never saw each other's face. So it's a way to connect to people regardless of if we're trying to keep them safe or not. Even if they just wave behind a glass door, you know, that's what we would do if they wanted that. If they wanted it left, then we know they know it's safe and that's fine.
Great. Now, how big has this gotten for you? Because you have some large scale competitors, although I'm already beginning to see how you differentiate from them. So how scalable is your model?
Currently, we run on the Dumpling app, which is out of Seattle, Washington. They were former Instacart shoppers who wanted to build a better, more ethical brand. So they created an app that business owners like myself can build, takeout, and delivery services on, and they're across the nation. And they're very equitable, very fair. However, at this time, I can be the only person on there unless I shop inside the store and have drivers come and pick items up. So yeah, it's not so scalable. So that's why we were working on the takeout and other grocery delivery app that we can have based directly out of Winston-Salem.
Right. But what I'm hearing here is that there are opportunities for enterprising entrepreneurs who want to take advantage of the COVIDian and post-COVIDian economy by doing this themselves. And there is support out there to help them do it.
Absolutely. Dumplin is wonderful for that. Absolutely. Hands down. I actually coached for them for several months during the pandemic to train other business owners in other states.
Yeah. Could you spell that just so that I can look it up for myself?
Absolutely. It's shop, S-H-O-P dot D, like David, U-M-P-L-I-N-G dot U-S. So like dumplings, chicken and dumplings.
Oh, okay.
Steam dumplings, yes.
Oh, I see. I see. So basically, what this is like a personal shopper network. So this is something that allows somebody, if they want to get into the personal shopping business and serve a specific clientele, that they can develop this for themselves in their own local market. And what's really cool about it is they can build their own dedicated clientele where you have that level of trust and you have that level of relationship where you don't have to deal with randoms.
Absolutely. And you can go on their website and put your zip code in and find a dumpling shopper near you. And I'm sure there's some in Vegas as well.
Oh, that's interesting. So while we keep talking here, I'm going to try that. I mean, I mean, while this was all going on, what I typically did is if I wanted something from somewhere, I went and picked it up. I just don't like people coming to where I live at all. I have a separate mailing address. Nobody even finds out where I live unless they're expected to be here. The community management knows that in order for me to let anybody in to service my apartment, that they have to notify me in advance. The good news is that's actually my lease agreement. They can't just walk in without my permission. On the other hand, they also know that all they have to do is make a simple phone call and I'll let them in.
Good. You sound like me.
Yeah. 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 It's like, I'm also one of those people that when I hang out with people, I go to them. They don't come to me. My residence is owned by my two feline owners, Princess Alessandra Francesca and Princess Stella Juliana. They have approved no visitors whatsoever. And this whole place is designed to fit their needs. I am allowed to stay here so long as I pay their rent and I make sure that I open their wet food.
Well, I think my jelly and pudding are pretty content with the dry food. Yeah. They do. The pudding used to like the visitors, but jelly didn't. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's awesome. And, you know, the fact is I have, I did do a search and I found about 7 or 8 people that within my local zip code of where I actually live, I found 8 shoppers on this dumpling network. And then when I do a search by the zip code where my mailing address is, I find 15.
Mm-hmm. And they have their ratings and you have reviews up there, their delivery rated, what stores they are willing to shop. Everything is right up there at your disposal.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I see that, And I see mostly 5-star reviews. One of them has a 4.8. They were probably the one that left the ice cream out on the step on the Las Vegas summer day. But yeah, and I see the ones that have done 1 delivery and the ones that have done 100. And I also see that 2 of them have developed brands, like you've developed a brand. The rest of them are doing very much a freelance sort of thing, but that's, I think, what kind of sets you apart. Now, I think I heard you say that part of the reason you developed a brand around this is for a combination of positioning and also taxation purposes.
How'd you pull that? That was very good. I'm a big thinker, big dreamer. So one day I want to have a hub with other, you know, bees or hive or whatever you want to call it that's catchy. And just to empower other drivers and shoppers to find their purpose and what they want to do, not just use them for their ability to make me rich.
Well, right. Mm-hmm. Now, what I also kind of like about your model here, what I'm getting a sense of that makes this unique compared to using one of the major brands that do these at-home deliveries of food and such, is that if I can have more of a personal relationship with a specific person or a specific team of people who know me and I know them. So that like if I have something special I want, like for example, if I want a certain brand of hummus that's a certain flavor, they know what option B is if option A isn't there. And they know that if neither A nor B are there, to actually go to something else or to just skip that item without just throwing things in the bag for me that I don't want.
Exactly. And we are the only delivery companies that can to deliver for Trader Joe's.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's really nifty. So one of the things, if we all recall from the heights or rather the depths of the COVIDian era, is that the great Cornholio was proven wise beyond his coverage. That man spent years fighting for teepee for his people. And in 2020, we realized we finally needed him.
Are you talking about Beavis and Butthead?
Of course I am. I'm speaking of the great
Cornholio.
Yes, I'm speaking of the great Cornholio. That is a man whose entire life was devoted to making sure that his people had teepee.
Teepee for my bunghole.
Exactly. So how do you do it?
Well, I have a relationship with the Sam's Club and Costco, so I was able to get in earlier to pick up toilet paper and grocery orders that my customers needed. Because there was a time where Instacart, I think, and Shipt as well, were allowed to go into Costco's and Sam's Club earlier. And because I have that reputation and the relationship of kindness to the people in the retail stores, they let me in, my business in as well. So we were able to go in as early as 7 o'clock in the morning and get things before the lines hit the store.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that buys those types of supplies once per year. My primary motivation is I have to carry it up a tall flight of steps by myself, and I don't want to deal with that constantly. I'd rather deal with the pain once per year. So I had enough of those types of things going into that to last me a year to begin with.
You sound like me. I have scops and everything already. So when I stand in line and they're acting like I want to hoard for myself, I'm like, listen, my bunghole is all set. I'm doing this for my clients. And I show them my app and I say, I've got 82 repeat customers, 600 and something orders, 475 clients. I'm almost servicing about 500 people. Would you rather all of those families, at that time, actually, it was like 50 different repeat clients. I said, would you rather 50 families come in here or me or my shoppers? Hey?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I advocate it, definitely.
See, this conversation is just full of these little items of wisdom. So what I want to pull out here to make sure that our listeners truly get this is you are in a position and are in a position where if shortages emerge again, that you can get access to things simply because you bring clout with you. and you bring a value to whoever it is you're buying it for. Because even with things basically being lifted at this point, there's still a push to limit crowds, which I guess makes sense. And you can come to these places and say, look, you want to let me into your exclusive hours simply because I'll keep 49 bodies out of your store and you still get the money.
Exactly. And I'm nice. And my staff is nice. We make people happy when we're in there. So don't you want happy staff?
I typically want things to go as nicely as possible. Yeah. Is this going to continue? I mean, even if we are where I think and hope we are, that we're basically more or less past all this stuff now, and that from this point forward, it's going to be mostly like managing new strains of the flu. Because that's where I think we are, it's where I pray we are, so that we'll continue to be in a place where people can pretty much go shop whenever they want. Do you see there's still a future for this? Because this industry really exploded last year.
Absolutely. Because originally my goal wasn't residential. It was the downtown areas that don't have grocery stores, and definitely they don't have wholesale stores within 10 miles. And if you're working on a project, developing software, or an office building that's 30 floors high, save your lunchtime and someone can bring it to you, or put your groceries in your trunk so that when you leave work, if your deliveries may be at 4:45 and you leave at 5 o'clock, you can just get in your car and or meet you at the car and then go home. You don't have to stop at the grocery store on the way home. So that was the purpose originally, to refill the snacks or help corporations when they have their celebrations deliver large bulk items. But now we know that a lot of those corporations, people are working from home, but the original vision was for the downtown businesses.
I didn't think of that, but I remember those days when I was in corporate and I worked in the city, there was no grocery store anywhere.
Right.
You got your hour for lunch. There were plenty of restaurants around, but no matter what restaurant you went to, there were a lot of people taking lunch. I intentionally would take lunch at a different time than the mainstream, simply so I could get in and out faster. If I wanted a sit-down meal, I actually had time for the sit-down part.
Right. I would take I actually worked for Wells Fargo Corporate before I went out as a full-time entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I would take my lunch at 2 o'clock.
That's funny, because I would, that's very similar to me. I would do something at like 1:30, 2 o'clock, something along those lines. I'm one of those people that I'll have a real breakfast. So I had something to carry me over for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What was also really nice about it is during the 12 to 1 hour where everybody else was queuing for lunch, things were quiet. I could get some stuff done.
Exactly. And no one hanging over your desk talking while you're trying to work. I mean, I like people, don't get me wrong, but
yeah. what's also really great about that is you're working in corporate and you got a little side hustle thing going on. You can maybe nibble on that for a little bit without too many prying eyes.
Well, we had a split shift. So when I was doing that and corporate at the same time, I'd go out in the middle of the day on my lunch and make money while people are out spending money.
Yeah, you really are a hustler.
I mean, I tell people, part of my story, and I'm going to be coming out with a book soon, is that while my son was under my roof, it was like that book, the movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, for 20, 21 years, trying to make ends meet for your son. So
yeah,
you learn how to make it happen. And I was so grateful. As much as I didn't like certain things about the gig industry, I really appreciated that opportunity to springboard what I'm doing now and be able to have a business now that's going to makes a difference, has made a difference, and will make a difference in the community.
Yeah. After I finished MBA school in 2002, I did the usual networking interview thing. My goal was to become a training development director for a Fortune 100 company. So I got a couple job offers. In one case, a company that wasn't even hiring was going to create a position for me. And I ended up turning it all down simply because I reconnected with a previous mentor of mine who at that chapter in his life owned a small training and development firm and needed somebody to basically cover his back end with respect to creating research for his presentations. He was also working on a book, so he needed a combination of research and even a little bit of ghostwriting. He mm-hmm. also was doing a lot of corporate presentations and didn't necessarily have the time to do the slight little tweaks to his signature, talk between everyone. Also, he had 1,000 books he wanted to read and didn't have time to read them. So he paid me to read them and then film short audios and explain to him what it was about.
Wow. Is he still hiring? No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, he's moved on to something else. I believe he does more work with public speaking these days. So he's mm-hmm. not really in T&D at this point, but he's moved on to something. And I speak with him a couple times a year, even though he's not a client anymore. He's really doing some great stuff with it. And where I'm going with this is, for about 2 years, I did that stuff on the side, and I got diagonally promoted at that company I worked at while I was in graduate school. And I wasn't sure whether I was gonna chase the corporate ladder or I was going to follow the entrepreneurial dream. Well, something happened in November of 2004 when I realized what an idiotic, stupid, brain-dead numbskull my boss's boss was. So yeah, you can tell I had a really bad day. And so I called this client of mine, the one I mentioned earlier, and he told me that if I were to quit that job then and there and give him evidence I had done so, he would give me $3,000.
Oh, wow.
I didn't take him up on it because I didn't believe in the possibilities. I didn't understand the possibilities. I didn't have a framework to understand the possibilities. I thought, well, what's $3,000 going to do for me? I wasn't really thinking. At the time, I didn't own a house, didn't have an apartment. I was 25 years old. I didn't have a family. I had almost no debt other than the student loan that everybody has. I was maxed out on my PTO at that job anyway. So if I walked away then and there, I would get a payout that was equivalent to 2 months worth of my salary. I had already figured out how to get individual health insurance to cover anything that could happen. I was going to walk away with a nice little investment plan because I maxed out on their matching.
Mm-hmm.
And all I had was him and one other small client. I'm thinking, how is the $2,800 a month I'm making off these two going to last me? Because three grand isn't going to carry me very far.
Mm-hmm.
If I knew the questions to ask, and I knew what I didn't know, what I needed to find out, and I could go back and whisper in my own ear, I would say, dude, you can do this for a third of that. Take the frickin' money. I ended up staying at that job for another 8 months. However, mm-hmm. at that point, my decision was already made. I took it with a mind frame that I was just going to make my position better before I made the jump. So what did I do between 1:30? What did I do between, say, 12 and 3 o'clock every day? I took a really late lunch. I took advantage of the office being empty for that good hour or so. I mm-hmm. found a nice little restaurant that was actually directly across the street from the building. So it only took me about 3 minutes to get there. Mm-hmm. I made friends with the people, with all the regulars who worked there. I ordered the same food every day. So the minute they saw me walking in the door, they already knew my order was and would have mm-hmm. it prepared for me before I even got to the counter, saving
Love
me
it.
Time.
Love
so between that, I found within an 8-hour workday, almost 2.5 hours to work on my business.
There you go.
So imagine all these personal shoppers that can do it.
Exactly. If they have the mindset, and that was the main thing when I was coaching, is the mindset.
Yeah. And without that exposure and without having that framework to understand their questions to ask, some people don't even know that mindset is supposed to exist, much less know how to access it.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about what you've put together here is you've shown the possibilities. And candidly, being a personal shopper is not something that requires a large amount of scientific skill, I don't think. I mean, is there a lot of calculus and physics involved in it?
Technically, no. But if you do want to deliver 3 to 4 cases of water, you have 4 lifts that you have to do. One from the shelf into the basket, one from the basket onto the conveyor belt, from the conveyor belt to the car, and then from the car to the person's door.
Why are we measuring lifts?
Because of your back and the price of going to a chiropractor.
Uh-huh. So we're looking now at opportunity costs.
We're looking at opportunity costs and liability, and we're looking at the value that we offer to that customer that they don't have to do it. Or like you said, up those flights of stairs.
Right. So when it comes to the opportunity cost and the liability, let's start with those two. Is there anything else that somebody wanting to do this type of hustle would need to be aware of in those two categories?
Absolutely. If you are your own business and you hire a coach like myself to help you walk through and set up that business, you get that information of those things that you need, how you should set up, whether you should set up an LLC or not, or sole proprietorship, different liabilities, should you have workman's comp? Are you responsible for your alcohol deliveries if you so choose to do alcohol deliveries? Are you responsible? Because a lot of the things that people don't know is that we technically, as 1099 individuals, are responsible if underage, a minor, or something, or an expired ID for each state. We're responsible for that. But the way that the apps are set up in the gig economy, people don't know that. And in the coaching, we kind of, you know, detail that and talk to people about that so that they make sure they cover their own selves. You know what I want to say? Cover their own assets. So make sure they're making an intelligent decision based on their state laws, because a lot of states have certifications on this, but depending on what gig you work for, like I worked for Amazon paid us to take that training, whereas other apps did not. And so we were just kind of willy-nilly in it, not knowing that we were putting ourselves at risk for $500, $200 fines.
Oh, that's it, $200. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, as you, I kind of knew when I started with that question, you were going to get into alcohol deliveries. I just knew it. And I was thinking to myself, could I rig something up so that I could get my alcohol through a personal shopper if I was 18 years old or 15 years old for that matter, where I could leverage contactless delivery to get a hold of it?
Through most apps, the bigger box apps, they have a scanner where you have to scan the ID and make sure. So even if it's contactless, you know, like that client, that customer that I said I didn't see for months, I did see them when they ordered beer one time because they had to stick their ID out of the door.
Uh-huh.
So you still have to have some form of contact, even if they want to Lysol that ID down afterwards.
Right. So speaking of Lysol, my understanding is, because one of the things you shared in the green room is you had a special line on things like toilet paper and Lysol. The Lysol was the same thing. You'd show up during the exclusive shopping hours and you'd buy a whole bunch of it. So you buy 50 cans of Lysol.
No, I couldn't do that. It wasn't that many. I wish.
But I'm just saying the value proposition to them would have been the same is, do you want 47 people coming in here and buying this, or do you want one person buying it for 47 people? And you know, you're able to show them you're a legit personal shopper. You're not a hoarder.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I think back to, I don't know if you remember this story, but when this whole thing started, somebody recognized that hand sanitizer was going to become a precious commodity. So they just went around to every convenience store, every pharmacy, everywhere where they sold hand sanitizer, and they worked as a team where they did, like, one person didn't just grab it all. They would just target places and they'd go in three or four of them at separate times. They would just buy the whole thing. They stuck it in a garage somewhere and then tried to sell it on eBay at like a 900% markup, and it got shut down.
Mm-hmm. It was teenagers, I remember.
Yeah. And when I saw that, I'm thinking, yeah, they kind of deserve that because they were stupid about it.
Right. They were selling it for about $50 a bottle.
That's what I mean by stupid. Now, candidly, if I had had the foresight, I might have gone and grabbed up a bunch of that stuff, knowing that it was going to become unavailable and been in a position where I could sell it. But here's two things I wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have gone out of my way to publicize an eBay store is the first thing. And I would have taken and I would have taken a markup that gave me coverage for my overhead and my fixed and variables with a little profit afterwards. So I'd have made some money, right? Because that's capitalism. But I wouldn't have gouged
price gouge,
people
yeah.
who just need to keep their kids safe. There's a difference.
Right. And I wish I had access to all that when I saw what was going on in December and January in other countries, simply because we would be a hub or have what people needed later. So, and that was, and it was a struggle for a minute to get masks for me and my staff as well. But I just love the spirit of the people of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We had people making us masks. We had clients making us masks. We were able to order N95, KN95 online and get gloves. We had some of our chamber members giving us that had to close, unfortunately, for the shutdown, giving us Purell and gloves and things like that. So it was really a divine and soul warming time as well to see the community come together and make sure that we stay safe.
That's great. And that, what that shows me is that there is, and I've been saying this all along, there's a basic goodness to humanity.
Oh man, yes.
We just give too many megaphones and too many magnifying glasses to the relatively small amount of bad actors. So you think everybody's out there to take advantage of somebody, but the fact is no. And you mentioned that you had these independent people that turned to making face coverings. Well, that's another business opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the skill and you're able to do the sewing and create these things, maybe make a branded design or something like that, and you can make some money with it. That's capitalism.
They did. Yeah. A lot of people did. And a lot of people were giving them away. And then some of them, they said, nope, it's only for the medical staff. And I said, that's fine. We are first responders. We're making sure people get their toilet paper and their lights off. So,
yeah. Well, when you look at it from a marketing perspective, these are all niches.
They are. Yeah.
So if they say we're only going to work with medical professionals, that's great. Their inventory, their marketing, what they do will be targeted toward the medical industry, and it'll deliver that niche a better product.
Right.
Yeah. So you told me that you have how many clients right now? About 50, give or take?
We had about 82 at one point during the height of everything last year. And now we have about 44 clients, about 28 repeats. So
is that, How do you manage that? Because I think you said it was mostly just you, or do you have other people involved?
We had other people last year, especially when I needed to be at Sam's Club and Costco at the same time, or I'm at Costco and someone needs to hunt down a thermometer for someone who may have been diagnosed or may believe that they have COVID. We had an awesome story of sending someone to go get. We had to call and track down a Walmart that had it. And thankfully, the last one on the shelf was the $10 one and not the $100 one. We tried down wipes and wet ones and different things like that. So we were really blessed. There's a lot of times where I look at the shelf and exactly what our client needed was the last one on the shelf. So it was just confirmation over and over again that Honeybee Delivery is doing a great service, and that's what we're called to do.
I went 47 days without a haircut.
Oh, wow.
I had the foresight to get a high and tight the day before they closed all the barbershops.
Wow.
And 15 days turned into 30, 30 turned into 45, 45 turned into 3 months. By day 45, I was counting how many days it had been, and I was enduring the headaches that I get when my hair gets too long. And I thought, if there was ever a time to find out what's underneath, this would be the time. Do you know how many places I had to visit to find hair clippers? Because suddenly everybody became a barber.
Right. I even had clippers for my long hair cat.
and this was for me. I mean, I almost went to get animal clippers because that was the next step. I researched five different places, and finally I found a Walmart Supercenter that was kind of out of my way that had, mm-hmm. you guessed it, one of them sitting on the shelf.
Wow, see?
It wasn't a really good one, but I figured I'm trying something one time. If mm-hmm. I like it, I may keep it. And if not, I'll be sitting here for two more weeks. It'll grow back anyway. Well, mm-hmm. I ultimately decided I like the feeling of feeling 5 pounds lighter and 10 degrees cooler, but I can handle the razor blade from this point forward.
Oh, so you just went bald?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Out here in Las Vegas, it feels good.
Okay. Okay. That's nice, like little... when I lived in Florida, I cut all my hair off. I had a TWA.
Uh-huh.
Tiny.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I had a teeny weeny afro.
A teeny weeny afro, okay.
A TWA.
Nice. So I guess in the final part of our conversation here, one of the things that I would like to get into just a little bit more is you've explained to me from the business end how you differentiate yourself from large and small competition. How do you do that from the client-facing end, and how do you get found by folks? I imagine there's a bit more to it than belonging to an app and having people type in a zip code.
Yeah, we have a website, www.honeybeegrocerydelivery.com.
There you go. There you go. Get the website in the conversation. That's good.
Honeybeegrocerydelivery.com.
Uh-huh.
And we also have Trader Joe's. Tells people about our business as well. They highly recommend us and they spread that love. And then also, if you do go to the shop.dumpling.us site and to put in a zip code search for the Winston-Salem area, I will pop up as the number one shopper.
Yeah. You have, from what I'm seeing based on the search I just did, you have more reviews and more repeat clients than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
With a 5-star average rating.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. I'm just looking this over really good. They're demanding you in Pittsburgh. I'm demanding you in Las Vegas.
Maybe one day.
Definitely
want us to open up a fleet out there on the beach too, in the mountains. That'll be awesome.
Ooh, just imagine.
Yeah.
Somebody's on a mountain excursion. And they realize they need more supplies, don't want to come down off the mountain, you go up and take it to them.
I'll send someone.
Okay, so all the same, one way or another, somebody's getting the scenic route.
Yes. I'll send an expert climber shopper, so I'll have to put that on the application. Do you have the climbing skills
to right. deliver
them? Or maybe we'll send drones by then.
Yeah. So a combination basically of having your own web presence, being on the dumpling app, and having a retailer recommend you above anybody else who works with them.
Yeah. And we're
is that what I got?
We're also part of the Louisville Clemens Chamber of Commerce for over a year. I just graduated from the Leadership Louisville Clemens program. So we're very professional. We're very well connected in our community.
Yeah. So you raised the point that if you're going to thrive in a local business, find ways to just get involved in your community to raise your recognition as somebody who gives back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're involved in a group on Facebook called Connect Support the Triad, which a lot of groups started during a pandemic to support one another. And we are one of the most friendly, social, helpful business groups to send referrals back and forth to each other, ideas and suggestions. We've kind of been like a lifeline to each other throughout the whole pandemic. So that synergy really helps business and it helps us give back.
Wow, that's really great. And you know, through our entire conversation here, we're near the top of the hour. I just wanted to point out two things. As our listeners know, our conversations here at Business Creators Radio Show take the form of private mastermind experiences where the listener feels like they're sitting in on a conversation where people mastermind between each other. That's the first item. And the second is what's really cool about what we're discussing here is how on the surface, it's actually kind of ordinary, but it gives so many priceless insights on the ordinary things that it takes to be successful that folks either don't know simply from lack of experience or don't know how to access because they don't know the questions to ask. And I hope that during our time here together that we've been able to solve a bit of that for our listeners.
Wonderful. I hope so too. I really do.
Great, great, great. So what I want to do now is I want to just say one more time, your website, it's honeybeegrocerydelivery.com. It's currently local to the Winston-Salem, North Carolina area. However, anybody listening to this who's outside Winston-Salem can figure out how to get these types of services locally or get involved in this industry. If you're looking for a revenue opportunity, if you're looking for a way to strike out in business, or you're looking for a low capital with a possibility of high return entrepreneurial venture to get involved in. So most of all, I want to thank you for bringing this to our attention as candidly a way for people to earn.
Right. And then also join the Dumpling. If they do get on the Dumpling platform, they can join that coaching program. And if they want direct coaching by me, they can reach out to me on the Honeybee Grocery Delivery website, or they can contact me at 336-283-3133. And I can coach them on how to build their business on that platform or another one.
You know, we're planning to keep this show on the air pretty much forever. So you have to keep that phone number for the rest of your life now.
Okay. Or again, they can go to the website or find on Facebook or Instagram.
I'm teasing you. Okay. So Tamika Wells, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor and believe me, an education.
Thank you, Adam. I'm so glad to be here. This has been fun, especially Beavis and Butthead. You took me back there.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.